And we are live. Welcome to World Cup Punting Preview, brought to you by The Tripod. I'm Jacob Wynn. I'm joined by Tom. And what a phenomenal tournament it's been. And we've had some phenomenal results. Capped off this morning with Morocco reaching the quarterfinals. Who could have picked that, I wonder? $11 if you did jump on. Kind of bittersweet. We get through. We get that bet over the line on a penalty shootout. But of course, we were denied Winnie's World Cup multi at 26-1 on a penalty shootout yesterday with the Japanese going very close, not close enough. And as it turned out, Spain ended up being the losing leg of Winnie's World Cup multi, because even if Japan had got through, Spain would have lost this morning and they were pretty short favourites. So in the end, every leg of that multi got up, including a non-European, non-South American side to get through, because of course that's Morocco, but Spain didn't. And I'm sorry, we did get pretty close, but it's been a crazy tournament with some surprising results. And we're doing our best to stay in front of it and pick our fair share. And I think we've done pretty well, Tom, so far.
Yeah, definitely. I think the amount of upsets that have been in this tournament, anyone who's coming out with some sort of respectability has done really well. And that result of getting Morocco $11 definitely makes up for missing on the 26-1.
How about your results, mate? You did pretty well. I was saying, you sent me like the teams you wanted to back and the teams you wanted to fade in round of 16. And then I kind of used them to find a mixed matchup, which we lost because we went Japan to outscore Australia. And we thought Japan had a much stronger chance of getting through than Australia. Look, Japan did have a better chance of getting through, but in the end, they both had one regulation goal each. Maybe we're a little unlucky. I know you had a way unluckier beat in the France-Holland game, but you know, Australia scores a deflected goal. But I wasn't complaining at the time, because that deflected Aussie goal by Goodwin, or I guess it was called an own goal, but I think it was Goodwin's strike, gave them a sniff. And it actually was a pretty thrilling finish and a heartbreaking finish for the Aussies. But I was saying, if I'd gone a different direction with the mixed matchup last week, we probably would have found a winner, because I think you had more of the games right than wrong.
Yeah, I think I had a pretty good read on the round, but unfortunately the results didn't reflect that. Went 1 out of 4 on best bets. You already mentioned the Poland one. Poland, I had France to win 2-0, and it wasn't until the 99th minute that Poland got that goal. I'd said to one of the boys in the comments, I don't know if Poland would have been awarded that penalty if it wasn't for the game situation. And then unfortunately...
Yeah, VAR, and then even the penalty gets saved. They allow a retake. I think that was the first retake of the World Cup so far. So, and yeah, 99th minute and you've gone win to nil. It's 3-0 to that point, and Poland gets a consolation goal, but kills your bet. And what else were you saying?
Yeah, I had Japan to qualify, and obviously that went down to the lottery penalty. So I thought it was a bit unlucky with that one. The Japanese,
and they led 1-0 at halftime.
Yeah, they led. And then the other one was Brazil 2-0, and obviously Brazil came out and probably played a bit too good for my bet, because they obviously, you know, were four goals up, so defense didn't really matter. So all in all, a bit of a frustrating one, but I think overall I got a pretty good read on the round. Just probably didn't play the best bets. In retrospect,
and that's how it goes in this sport too. You can be so close yet so far, as a couple of teams found out. Now, you mentioned Brazil there. I wanted your kind of two or three favorite performances of round 16. Do they feature in that?
Yeah, I think Brazil, I think they'd have to be up there. I think this round is actually a bit of a tricky one to pick out best performances, because you had five teams in my view who put in a really strong performance. Obviously, France were superb in their victory. England as well. I thought the Dutch, a few people, including myself, saw that as a banana skin game. The Dutch put in a really strong performance, and obviously Brazil and Portugal. So then it's also hard to go past Morocco, you know, winning as heavy underdogs. So I think my top three performers would have to be Morocco, just because they're basically the only side which I'd consider a real upset in terms of getting through. I know, I think that was the only underdog who actually got through.
That's right. They were a betting underdog, well and truly. They did win their group and Spain came second, but clearly Spain was like $1.20 to progress. So you're right about that. And I think they got to get a shout out for that performance this morning.
And I think it's hard to look past a team who scores 6 goals. I know there is a bit of a blowout effect, but you know, Switzerland are a pretty, you know, solid side. They don't often get beaten like that. So I think you've got to put Portugal up there. I think the fact that they brought in a young player who'd only played 10 minutes in the tournament and he scores a hat trick, I think you need to give the manager some credit and the Portuguese some credit. They've handled that Ronaldo distraction quite well so far. So I think they've got to be up there. And I think Brazil as well. I've been left wanting a tiny bit more from them. But that first 35, 40 minutes was superb. So for those three teams to be the top three and you're leaving England and France out just goes to show the quality of the performances that were put in by some of those teams.
I pretty much had all the same notes, and we'll get a chance to talk a little bit more about these gun teams because they're all playing in the quarterfinals, which don't kick off till Saturday morning Australian time. So I don't know what people are going to do with themselves tonight or tomorrow morning, the first night, no World Cup football, and then you've got to get through a couple more, but massive games ahead. So I thought we're going to obviously talk about all the sides that won. Is there one team that you want to shout out or just say a word about that didn't get through, that's not taking any further part in the tournament?
I think for me, Japan and probably Australia are the two teams who got knocked out who are deserving of some credit. I'll be the first to put my hand up and say I don't think either of them were getting through the group, and they both got through the group. And then, you know, obviously with Australia, they pushed Argentina right to the end. They probably would have been a bit lucky if it was a 2-2 scoreline, but, you know, they hung around. They didn't get blown out. It could have been quite easily at 2-0 to drop your heads and it could have turned into 3-4, but the Aussie boys kept fighting. And, you know, when you keep fighting and you keep asking questions, you make your own luck. And if they had managed to get that equaliser, it would have been through perseverance and not giving up. Japan, obviously, they won their group. They took it all the way to Croatia, who were the World Cup runners-up from the last time. So they've gone up against quality European opposition and not looked out of place at all. So I think those two, for me, would have to be it.
I think that's a good shout. You mean Japan beats Germany, beats Spain. Now, people will say, oh, neither of those sides turned out to be any good. But part of the reason those sides aren't in the World Cup anymore is because they lost to Japan. And I said this for Winnie's World Cup multi. If Spain even just holds a draw against Japan, they top the group. And I was saying this last week, I did not like that Spain-Morocco matchup. I didn't want that. I wanted us to have the chance to get the $11 tip home and be able to win Winnie's World Cup multi. Morocco could have been the African, Asian, North American side that got through. And I think Spain, you know, had they just got a draw or something against Japan, a result, I think Spain beats Croatia, for example. So then we could have been home. So even though we still had a very solid chance going into this weekend to get the multi home, the draw didn't work out exactly how I would have liked, but that's all up in the air. You know, when you do a multi like that, you know, we give ourselves lots of different possible outcomes for it to win, but it doesn't always shake out perfectly. And I was talking also a few days ago about how Spain being on the same side of the draw as, you know, England, France now makes that side a little bit more congested. But now Spain's gone and now things are open again. And now I've heard people talking up Portugal, who scored the most goals in round 16, and how they could make it all the way through to the final potentially. So it can all change every single match day. But let's also give credit to Australia because we said 8 teams won in round of 16. Well, 2 of them won on penalties. They did well to get there, but we've already spoken about Morocco. Then you said 5 teams were comprehensive in their wins: Netherlands, England, France, Brazil, Portugal. So the other team that won that wasn't comprehensive was Argentina, who only won 2-1. And that's because Australia did give them an almighty scare. And look, I said the Aussie goal was a bit fortuitous, and that's unlucky for us with our mixed matchup. But the second Argentinian goal was a gift, and that hurts in a way to go out 2-1. And you've gifted them, you know, just by a mistake playing out from the back, basically. You've gifted them that second goal. And, you know, Messi too good in the first half gives them the lead. And we might talk a little bit about Golden Ball, player of the tournament, and the odds on that at the end of this preview. But what annoyed me about the Messi goal was it was like the only chance Argentina had in the whole first half. We were 30 minutes into that game. And I was like, Argentina hasn't even had an opportunity yet. Like, this is good. We're hanging in there. They got one, Messi put them in front, and they ultimately never relinquished that lead. Although even the final kick, you had the Bayich run into the box, that would have been an all-timer goal. And then you had the substitute at the very end. It breaks to them in like the 96th minute, opportunity to be a hero. And we could have forced extra time and really made Argentina sweat. But you could see the relief on their faces, I think, to get past us. And let's not forget as well, Australia had never won more than one game at a World Cup, only 3 wins in our whole football history at a World Cup, and we had 2. That was before this tournament, and we got 2 in the group stage. So we our Socceroos have done us extremely proud. We've spoken about the multi that went down, and the mixed matchup brings us to 2-2. Let's get a tiny bit more recap of the second round from a betting perspective, and then a look ahead to the quarterfinals from the show sponsor, Tristan at Top Sport.
Hello, punters. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're into the big games of the FIFA World Cup now, and obviously there's a bit of up and down results over the course of the group stages, but it appeared as though all the cream was rising to the top in the round of 16 matches, where every favourite progressed up until this morning, where obviously Spain were upset in a massive upset against Morocco, where the match went to penalties, as I'm sure you're all well aware. So that set us up for some intriguing quarterfinal matches, where the two blockbusters are the Netherlands Argentina, where of course all Socceroo fans' hearts were broken on the back of Argentina just sneaking through in that earlier match, and then a big grudge game between England and France, where the winner of this game will be in a very, very strong position to progress forward. You've got two more lopsided games where Brazil, they've looked unbelievable against Croatia. They're very, very short price to advance, but Croatia's been pretty good this tournament, and they obviously made the World Cup final last edition, so Brazil will need to be at their best, but they've looked a very, very dominant side. And then Portugal looks scary today, but we've already seen that Morocco can surprise. So Portugal are $1.65 to win in 90 minutes. They take on Morocco, who'll be looking to continue their giant killer run. Obviously, the mixed matchup or Winnie's special market, it just went under in the last couple of games. Certainly a good run for the money at a $26 quote, and just falling short in the last couple of days. So punters will be a little bit disappointed with the Japanese result, but I guess probably would have been more disappointed if it happened to get into the last game and Spain lost at that short quote. So just looking at the outright market at the moment, we've got Brazil, a very firm favourites there, $2.70. France, $5. Argentina, $6.50. Portugal, $7. And England, $7.50. Our worst ways at the moment are England and Argentina. I was quite happy with standing Argentina for a significant amount after that first up loss to Saudi Arabia. They've come home very, very strong. Our biggest liability was Spain, who were, of course, eliminated this morning. So that eased a little bit of a pressure in that sense. Funnily enough, Brazil are actually a small winner for us, which I didn't expect to be the case, but that can obviously change as we get deeper into the tournament as well. So looking forward to a great quarterfinal batch of matches, and if you're having a bet, good luck, and make sure you do it responsibly.
All right, Tom, let's go game by game. So the first match, they've kind of reversed the order. So some sides that we've seen play quite recently are in Brazil and Croatia are going to hook up. So this is 1, 2 a.m. Saturday morning. Brazil's $1.35 to win in regulation time, draw close to $5, and Croatia $9 or $10 quote. And I did also want to say, guys, presume some other people are watching. I've seen a couple of comments come through from Barney, but if anyone else has any thoughts or tips or comments, please send them through. We'll put them on the screen. We might be able to respond to them as well. So Tom, anything in this game other than another comprehensive Brazil victory?
I can't see anything but a Brazil win at this stage. I just think Croatia have played a lot of tight matches so far, and I just wonder how their bodies are. You know, playing another 120 minutes like they did against Japan the other night. I know I've previously mentioned it, but Luka Modric isn't getting any younger. 120 minutes for him at his age with this intensity, and then to ask him to go back it up against a strong Brazil side, I think is asking a lot. You throw in the fact that Croatia haven't really looked that great in front of goals. You know, they had 2 games in the group where they didn't score, and they had 120 minutes where they scored only that one header. So I do worry about Croatia's ability to score, and I think against Brazil, they're going to need to score at least probably 2 goals to be able to take it to extra time and have a chance. Brazil, I think, whilst they haven't been performing at their absolute best, they've been kind of managing their way through the tournament. You know, they've been able to rotate and rest a few of their players. So I think Brazil come into this quite fresh. It's hard to really find value in this game when a team's $1.36. I know I have played the 2-win to nil margin, but it burnt me twice last week, so I'm a bit hesitant to take it. So yeah, I think at this stage I don't really have anything, you know, a strong lean in terms of any best bets. That might change as the week goes on if I find anything. But yeah.
To be honest, Brazil getting Croatia in the quarterfinal, it's not the strongest opponent. Some other sides have got tougher quarterfinals. So that is kind of the luck of the draw, because pre-tournament, you would have penciled in this as a Brazil-Spain quarterfinal. Had Spain topped their group, as I said before, maybe they would have handled Croatia. There's something about this Brazil side that I will say, just from observing them, as well as, you know, they're putting it on the paddock and the scoreboards show it. But there seems to be a real chemistry around this side, that it's not a bunch of individual superstars that all want the spotlight. It seems like a squad that's come together that really wants to get this job done, because they know a lot of these players on their resume or for their legacy, you've got to win a World Cup. If you're Brazilian and you go to several World Cups, like, you've got to win one. Brazil hasn't won one for 20 years. This group knows they've got the ability to do it. And the draw is fairly kind, although we'll talk about the other side of this draw when we get to the next quarterfinal and who they might match up against. It could be an all-South American semi, which would be perfect for pod followers, because my World Cup combo multi just needs a South American side to make the final. Obviously, if Brazil wins this and Argentina beat Netherlands, then we've won before the semi-final even takes place. So I'm with you. I can't see anything but a comfortable Brazil win. Let's move to the next game on Saturday morning, which is the Netherlands against Argentina. I did see a comment there from Skeptile saying he's only got three contenders: Brazil, France, England, and maybe new look Portugal. And this is a theme I've picked up in the comments, that a few people were writing off Argentina because they were not very impressive in their victory in the second round. And to me, I just think, don't judge a team based on 1 week. Now, I know that Argentina also lost the opening game of the tournament, so they haven't been that impressive. But if you go back and look at past World Cup winners, you'll find very, very rarely does a team just dominate every game, every stage. Almost every team has a scare. Almost every team's got to survive extra time or a late goal, late winner, maybe even penalty shootouts to go all the way. So I'm not writing off Argentina. In fact, I am wearing an Argentina famous club jersey from Argentina, and I think they're going to get through this one. You actually told me you would lean to Netherlands from a betting perspective, though.
Yeah, it's tricky, because I keep my mind actually keeps changing on this one a bit. The last week, after full time for both games, I was very much in the Netherlands camp, and then throughout the week, I've been pretty much in the Netherlands camp. However, I'm actually starting now to lean more towards Argentina. I just think that there is a case of teams, you know, timing their run to perfection. Like you do say, it is hard for a team to perform at a high level throughout the World Cup. The reality is there are, you need to win seven games, or you need to play in seven games to win the World Cup. Over the space of 28, 29 days, you're not going to be at your absolute best in every single game. And I do wonder if Argentina, maybe that side who a lot of people have written off just simply because of that first game against Saudi Arabia, and they look at it and go, oh, you know, they can't win the World Cup because they lost that game, and then the way they played against Australia. I do have concerns about Argentina, though. I think outside of Messi, they don't really look like they can hurt teams. Lautaro Martinez has had a shocker so far. The goal that Alvarez scored, like you said earlier on, was a gift from Matty Ryan. It does help Argentina that they have brought in Fernandez into the midfield. The one thing I do like about Argentina is I think they've got the grit to get through a game and only need one goal to win. I think they've shored up their defence a lot since that first game. And I think even in that first game, they defended reasonably well. It was just Saudi Arabia scored two brilliant goals that kind of caught them out napping. The Dutch have been a bit of a weird team so far. Like, they weren't, I wouldn't say they were overly impressive in the group, but they had a few, you know, shaky performances. Like, they weren't that great against Senegal or Ecuador. You know, they beat Qatar. I was actually thinking the USA could get the Netherlands, but the Netherlands played a really strong game. The one thing that does concern me a bit about the Netherlands is they are giving up goals and they are giving up chances. And I think if you're giving up chances at a high volume to a player like Lionel Messi, you're almost inviting him to get a goal. So it'll be interesting to see, though, because there's a few good matchups in this game. So obviously you've got the Dutch defense, which could possibly be one of the strongest defenses in the world, with the quality that they've got there against one of the greatest players, if not the greatest of all time. So from a matchup perspective, it's going to be interesting because the Dutch are going to try to play free-flowing football in the midfield, whereas I think the Argentines are going to try and make it a dirty game. They're going to try to break up the play and make it a South American game. If the Netherlands can make it a free-flowing game, I think the Netherlands have probably got the edge. But in a World Cup, in a quarterfinal, it's really hard to get a free-flowing game going. So I'm actually now starting to lean towards Argentina, but I could see this game being one that goes to extra time or penalties quite easily.
Kaelin has commented, if Argentina don't start Martinez, then over 2.5 goals is a lock. And you talk about Netherlands not being that impressive in the group stage, but one thing they've had up their sleeve is they didn't rush in Memphis Depay. Now he is a mainstay up front, and then Gakpo has really emerged as well. So they're two legitimate weapons that are going to cause problems for any opposition, and Argentina's going to have to deal with them. And you talked about the matchup at the other end of the field. So this is a really evenly matched game. Now, we heard a dog barking before. Sometimes that's a sign you've got to take the underdog when you get that sort of omen. The underdog is Netherlands. So even though we probably agree Netherlands were more impressive in the previous fixture, Argentina are still the favourites, and I didn't say the odds before, but Argentina 230, the draw 315, Netherlands $3.60, or from a to qualify perspective, Argentina is about $1.60 and Netherlands $2.40. So clearly it can go either way, and it sounds like you're pretty on the fence with it, Tom, whereas I do think Argentina can hang in there and just be more decisive in the key moment and maybe get that the goal they need. But this is a game that easily could go longer than 90 minutes. Jerry says Messi is not the GOAT. Maradona is. But if Messi wins a World Cup, then, you know, that his argument gets stronger as well. I think it's fair to say Maradona does have one of them on his resume. Let's move to Sunday, where the heroic Morocco, who got through this morning, as we know, in a penalty shootout against Spain, will play Portugal, who couldn't have won more easily, really. As you said, they beat the Swiss 6-1. And so Portugal are the strong favourites in this one. $1.65 to win, $3.70 the draw, $5.70 for Morocco to win in 90 minutes. From a qualifier perspective, it's $1.30, plays $3.50. Who have you got, Tom?
I think Portugal win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Morocco find a way to win. The thing with the Portuguese side is they're their leading goal scorers in this tournament so far. They scored 3 goals in every game except that one game against Korea. And given they rested every single player, or they rested a lot of players, I don't really take that into consideration too much. So they've been brilliant going forward. The one thing, though, with Portugal is I wonder if maybe the opposite of Argentina, and I wonder if maybe with Portugal, if they've laid their cards out, you know, too early on the table and they've already hit that peak. The one thing, though, with Portugal that does give me a bit of hope is I think they're a bit more united than what I thought they would be. I think the Ronaldo distraction hasn't, you know, been such a thing as what I thought it would be. I thought there was no chance in hell the coach would drop Ronaldo. So that was incredibly brave management, and it's paid off. The guy who was brought in had only played 10 minutes before this match, and he scores a hat trick. So I don't think you get anything closer to the definition of managerial masterclass on that aspect. So yeah, a really impressive performance by Ramos to come in and get the 3 goals. The thing is, though, I think Portugal haven't really been tested yet, and I do worry if they get themselves in a grind. Morocco have been against a lot of quality opponents, and they've got themselves in the grind, and it's, you know, it's come off in every single game. So they've played Belgium, they've played Croatia, they've played Spain, and they've played Canada. So 4 really decent sides, and they've got out of all of those games, and they've only conceded 1 goal so far. So Morocco have been able to play a grind style game. And, you know, they've scored goals in some of those group games. They've got themselves into a position now where they can really have a swing at this game. I think, you know, it'd be super impressive if Morocco can back it up. it's going to be hard because obviously Portugal, you know, quality all around the park. However, Portugal do have a few key outs, you know, who were expected to be at this tournament. So there is a chance for Morocco, and if they were to win, they would be the first African side to ever make the semifinals. There's only been four before. So history tells you that Morocco, you know, fall short of the quarterfinals like every other African side have at this stage. But unlike a lot of African sides in the past, they've got this really hard defensive attitude, and it's going to be hard for them to break down and for Portugal. And the thing with Morocco, it's important to remember, is before this tournament, a few months before this tournament, they weren't going to have Ziyech. He wasn't going to be playing in this tournament, and it wasn't until they sacked the manager that he came available. So that's also another masterclass along the management line. So well done to the Moroccan FA, because by doing that, they've made history for their country, and they could possibly make it for the continent. But I think for me, I'd have to go Portugal in this one. I think the experience across the park is just going to be too much. But I wouldn't mind Morocco to take this deep. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 1-0 result. Possibly they even take it to extra time. I'll be cheering on Morocco, but I won't be having a bet on it at this stage.
And it's so clear to me that how important Ziyech is. So it's like a no-brainer. If he wasn't going to play for the other coach, you know, it doesn't really matter about principle. You had to let this guy play. But the fact that this squad is playing so well for the new manager, and you can see him, you're really animated on the sideline, you see him all celebrating the scenes today, it seems like they're all buying in. And maybe there's a reason Ziyech clashed with the previous coach, and maybe there's a few other players that are perfectly happy with the new choice of manager, because he's leading the way. Although Morocco haven't set the world on fire with goal scoring, it seems to me like Ziyech is always a threat and can score or set up for others. But it's the defense has been the story of the tournament so far. You mentioned it. They've conceded one goal so far the whole tournament. They've played some strong oppositions. And the one goal they let in was actually against Canada. And it was an own goal deflected cross in. So been super impressive. Look, the game today against Spain, they were ultra brave. Spain had nearly 1,000 passes to Morocco's 250. Now, say what you want. You could spend a whole segment of a pod talking about the way Spain play, and maybe they don't pose enough threat. But Morocco absorbed a hell of a lot of pressure. Spain had a couple of close chances, although I will say Morocco had an amazing chance in the second period of extra time, or in extra time anyway, 1-1, where the striker just managed to find the keeper. It could have gone either side and put Morocco in front, but they survived a massive scare on the final play of the 90 minutes and the final play of extra time as well. Got themselves into a shootout and then didn't let in a goal. Again, is that Spain? You know, Spain penalties not up to scratch. But I always feel like people love to try and say why a team didn't win a penalty shootout and say things like, oh yeah, their penalties weren't good enough and stuff. Like, you got to understand, often the goalkeeper is just going to guess which way he's going to go. If he guesses the right way and saves it, people will say, oh, the penalty wasn't powerful enough or wasn't placed well enough. If the keeper guesses the opposite direction, it goes in by 3 meters and then nobody criticizes it. So it's easy to make a narrative about a shootout. The fact is, basically every shootout is a coin toss. And you give all the credit in the world to Morocco for holding their nerve. I love it when an underdog can force a game all the way to a shootout and then win the shootout. I just feel like it hurts so much if the underdog gets himself that close. You'd always take a shootout, but then the favorite wins. So look, good on them. They deserve this, as you said. This is the first Arabic side, in fact, that's ever made the quarterfinals. But African sides, I don't know how many in the past have made quarters. I do recall Ghana. Oh, you said four. So four. Ghana in 2010 was probably the most recent, and none have ever made the semi-finals. So Morocco's got that opportunity. But you said Portugal's got some key players who are not going to be part of their team, but you can say the same for Morocco. They had a couple of players that went off injured today. They just poured it all out. I don't know. This is a short turnaround as well. They played this morning. And I don't know what they're going to have left in the tank. Now, this is like the greatest team Morocco's ever had, historic results for them. So do they ride a wave? Have they got one more massive performance in them? Maybe they can get the upset here, and then maybe someone like France or England will be too good for them. I can make a case in both directions. Like, if Portugal wins this game by 3 or 4, we'll all say great effort by Morocco, but they ran out of fuel. But if they, you know, carry on and play inspired, they could get through this. Had Spain won the penalty shootout this morning, I would actually probably play Spain against Portugal, even though you would have said Portugal was way more impressive. I still think Spain are better than Portugal. So that's why absolutely I give Morocco a chance, but I won't be backing them this week because I am worried about what they might have left in the tank. I'm worried about whether they suffered key injuries. And for Portugal, we didn't love them that much going to the tournament, but one caution we had was like Ronaldo, he is the team, you know, he is the figurehead of the side, but he's not necessarily good enough to be in this first 11. How they're going to navigate that? He's coming out, talking out against his club. But it's funny, they have navigated it. And they started Cristiano all three group games. And then, as you said, the manager benches him for the knockout rounds. If that backfires, you know, that's his head on a chopping block. But the Ramos comes out and has a blinder and has a hat trick. So, you know, does Ronaldo accept that role? I didn't think he looked all that happy on the sideline as he was watching Ramos bang them in. But nevertheless, their strongest side does not include Cristiano. And he's hell of a weapon to have coming off the bench, to be fair. They're playing outstanding football, so they're rightful favourites in this one. And I think I said about $1.30 to progress. Some comments coming through. Ocho loving the Boca Juniors shirt. Morocco, the only undefeated side left. Is that true?
No.
England are undefeated.
England, and who else? Netherlands. Dutch and Croatia.
Yeah, close. After last match, who do you predict for Golden Boot? I mean, Golden Boot, top goal scorer, is most likely going to be Mbappe at this point. If England upsets them, not sure if someone like Richarlison could get there. Sorry, I should put that comment on the screen. That's from Skeptile. But I will maybe pick your brain about Golden Ball, player of the tournament, Tom, as well. We do have one more game to discuss, though. Kaelin says, surely their luck's up now. So, again, you know, Morocco, is it a case of they've played their grand final, perhaps? Ben saying Portugal have choked in previous cups, so he'll take the longer shot on Morocco. And sometimes you do just get these teams running that fairy tale run.
That's actually a good point with Portugal. I think outside of the 2006 World Cup, which was Ronaldo's very first World Cup, they haven't really gone anywhere in the World Cup. But aside from that Euros result in 2016, I feel like Portugal are one of those sides that are a very public side. They have a lot of people backing them, you know, because of the Ronaldo effect. But, you know, the reality is they actually haven't really performed that well at tournaments. So there is that factor.
Now I'm getting massively ahead of myself. And this is a bit of a deep cut as well. But I feel like there was a famous quarterfinal Euro 2004, probably Euro 2008. And it was England-Portugal. And it ended up going to penalty shootout. I think Cristiano Ronaldo milked a red card on Wayne Rooney. I'm sure some people out there know the game I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, if England wins the next game that we're going to preview and Portugal are favoured, we could get a rematch of that classic encounter. But that's if England gets past the world champions, France, and they're not favourites to do so. The French are the favourites, although this is a very evenly matched encounter in terms of the odds. With it about $1.75 to $2.10 in terms of progression. But for the 90-minute result, France are $2.40. A draw would pay $3.20 and England are $3.10. Tom, how do you feel about your homeland in this one?
Head over heart is this one. That's how I'm feeling about this game. My head says France just find a way to win against England, who just always seem to come up short against the big, big sides when it really matters. But my heart says this English side are different and they can pull it off, and they can pull off a famous victory and set themselves up to be in a really good spot for the rest of the tournament. I do think this English side is a bit different than what we've seen in the past. The way they've been playing their football is different. It's not been negative. They've been pragmatic, and then they've attacked when they needed to. England's been like a bit of a heavyweight boxer so far in this tournament. They've kind of like, you know, jabbed at their opponent and then they've waited to go in for the kill. And then they've, you know, thrown three or four really quick punches against Iran, Wales, and now Senegal. They basically scored three goals in the space of about 10, 15 minutes to basically end the contest. So, I think England's attack is super strong. This matchup's going to be quite an interesting one, though, because the French, obviously, their strength is their attack, even without Karim being in this tournament. They're still...
Giroud's doing all right in his place.
Yeah, Giroud's doing all right. Griezmann does the business for France. And then there's that player called Mbappe. So, England are going to have their hands full, but I think England, one of the things that they've got down pat is their defence. So far, they've only conceded 2 goals the whole tournament. Those 2 goals were against Iran, and to steal a basketball term, I'd say they were in garbage time. England were up 4-0 before Iran managed to actually score, and then Iran scored with the last kick again. So England have kept back-to-back-to-back clean sheets, but obviously this is a new test. Kyle Walker has got a huge job against Mbappe, but the one thing that will help England, I think, is the fact that they've got players like Saka who help out on the defensive end. They're not just good going forward. But at the same time, if France decide, you know, they want to go at England, they're going to have to be cautious because Bellingham is prepared to make those deep runs. Like a lot of midfielders around the world are prepared, you know, to take those risks and make those runs. You throw in Phil Foden, who I think is probably going to be starting for the rest of the tournament now. And England have got the ability to hurt the French if the French overcommit. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup. And I think this is the type of matchup where both teams will probably, I'd say both teams are going to approach it with a degree of caution. I think the French, if the French are smart, they'll know the English are a very real chance to win this. And if the French come into this game thinking they've won, and if they're cocky, I think England will get them. I don't think the French are silly enough to make that mistake. Obviously, they came unstuck at the Euros last year against Switzerland. And so I think they're going to be very clued in for this game. But the one thing that possibly swings at England's way is just the depth that they've got on the bench. Obviously, France have had a few injuries in this tournament so far. England have got probably what you would consider as being a top four side. If you got their second 11 and put that second 11 in the Premier League, they'd probably finish very close to the top four in the Premier League. So England's strength might be in numbers. That could be the deciding factor. And I think Southgate's approach will be, let's keep it tight. Let's see if we can create a chance with what we've got on the field. And if not, let's look to the bench. And, you know, England have got a player on the bench who has scored 3 goals so far in this tournament, Marcus Rashford. And, you know, as a Liverpool fan, getting behind him is a bit of a tricky one. But Marcus Rashford, he is direct. He's quick. After 9,500 minutes, he's probably the last player in the world you want to probably defend against. And there's a very real chance he could be the difference maker coming off the bench. So I would probably lean England just, but that's more of my heart speaking than my head. I think it's such a close game and you can make arguments for both teams. And I think the team who wins this game will make the final. And I think the team that wins this game will have the belief that they can go on and win the tournament. And belief in a tournament like this is huge. So, it's pick 'em as far as I'm concerned, just about.
Yeah, this is the game of the weekend because I think these two have a very realistic chance to win the trophy. And in saying that, and this is the one I can't wait to watch of all four games, it could end up 0-0 after 120 minutes. That's the funny thing. It might not be the most entertaining, but I think it's going to be the most high intensity, high drama and high tension in this one. And I think a massive part of it is the approach that England's going to take. You mentioned there what Southgate's kind of tactics going to be. Like, does he want to make this a defensive battle? Is he saying, all right, at this point in time, we're going to win this World Cup by keeping clean sheets? And is he going to play ultra conservative? And is he actually not going to necessarily encourage all his attacking weapons to make a lot of, you know, attacking runs and to get numbers up the field? And therefore, will they actually be inviting the French in? Like, I hope that England plays positive and just tries to play them in a shootout, but I fear that's not going to be the case. However, if England wants to play a little bit more negative and pragmatic, as it's known, they could win that way too. They could keep the French out by defending with discipline and then taking that one chance. Because you mentioned a few, you know, key playmakers, and Bellingham can set things up. And I've been shouting out Foden, but of course you've got Harry Kane up front as well. And you also mentioned that France is going to play through Mbappe and he's the crown jewel and he's arguably the best player on the planet. But England does have the Mbappe stopper, I say with inverted commas, with Kyle Walker, who's come back from injury. You know, can he make his life a little bit more difficult? People know I'm going to take England in this one. I picked England prior to the World Cup, and I knew this would most likely be the quarterfinal. So for the well, for all the reasons that I've said why I like England and the fact that France do have key players out, I feel like a guy like N'Golo Kante, if he had been there, you know, that could be a different story in the midfield. So I like the English. I think they can get it done here. I think the squad is prime and stacked with talent. I think they can deal with the threats that France possess. Of course, either side could win it on their day. As you say, it's a definite candidate for extra time, I think, as well, which is going to feed nicely into our mixed matchup. Now, guys, tell us what you think of this, because I reckon this is a beauty, and I've used Tom's advice to come up with. It's not exactly two teams head-to-head, but it is a couple of outcomes. One is the first game, which we think is going to be the least competitive of the four, and Brazil's got to win that in regulation. So you heard before, that's like $1.35. And then we need one of the other three quarterfinals to go to extra time. So Tom, you kind of told me you like Netherlands' chances, you like Morocco's chances, and you kind of split on England-France. You think it could be low scoring. So I'm looking at that as we've got three legit shots to get to extra time. You said to me you wouldn't be surprised if we get two games to extra time. We just need one to hit extra time and Brazil to win in 90 minutes. That's $2 odds, so you can double your money. You can have up to 200 on that on Top Sport. The promo code is Tripod if you need a Top Sport account. How do you like the sound of that one, Tom?
Yeah, brilliant. I think, like I said to you earlier today, I think there's a very real chance that two of the games go to extra time. You know, so far in the tournament, we've seen the round of 16, and those games were, there was a lot of blowouts, which is very unusual. I think if you went through the history of the round of 16, you'd struggle to actually see results where five teams scored three or more goals. I think you would never find that in any previous tournament. I could be wrong, but I don't think you would have ever seen the results that we've seen. So there's probably going to be a lot of people out there thinking, oh, now the big boys are here to play. And the reality is pretty much every side who left in the tournament, aside from Morocco or Croatia, I'd consider a big boy. And when you get those big boys, it can be a bit like, you know, your old Champions League matches back in the early 2000s between Jose Mourinho and Rafael Benitez. You can have games where it's just going to be dour. It's going to be like a battle. And even if one team gets one goal, you know, the other team are going to push and push and push and try to get that equaliser. So I think if we're going to get the game to go to extra time, the most likely one will be England and France, probably followed by Netherlands and Argentina. But really, we're looking at a one and three. That's all we really need, so long as Brazil get the business done. So, I love it.
And John asked a question, what if two games go to extra time? We'd still win. It's one or more goes to extra time, so you don't have to worry about that. That means as long as Brazil wins, we're live throughout the rest of the weekend. Other comments here, people saying they love that mixed matchup, so that's good to hear. And hey, don't say Morocco aren't a big boy. I may or may not, as Jeff enters the chat, I may or may not have said to some people, if you got a bonus bet lying around, Morocco 126-1 to win the World Cup. I may have said that to some people a couple of days ago. So stranger things have happened. Leicester won the Premier League a few years ago. We'll see what happens. Yeah, certainly everyone has a shot to a varying degree this weekend. The game that's still on the screen is the one that I think, could very well, we could find the champion in that one. And certainly a side that can make the World Cup final. And it's a good rivalry as well in England-France. But what has made this World Cup so exciting has been the surprises, the upsets, and the fact that although Brazil are rightfully the favourites and have been so far, there's several teams that legitimately could win this competition remaining. So as Jeff comments, Morocco now in the 30-1 range. So we'll see how we go with that one. They got to get through Portugal next, of course. Now, this will be the last pod that you're going to join me live for, Tom. I've really appreciated you making the time and sharing all your football knowledge with us. So I've got to wish you a safe and fun trip to Vietnam, right? You're going Vietnam, this weekend. Yeah. Hopefully you can catch some football over there. And you still will try and see what internet connection you've got and still send us some clips and some insights as well. But on behalf of everyone who's followed along this tournament, mate, we hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's been a fun one, being able to preview and review all the games with everyone.
Cheers, mate. And next up, I think we're going to do Monday night. So that's when you guys can find us again, Monday night, to preview what will be a pair of semi-finals. So we're well and truly at the pointy end of the competition And yeah, can't wait. But we've got four huge matchups kicking off. Got to find something to do for the next couple of days. But then Saturday morning, set those alarm clocks, guys. Thank you to everyone who has joined in. Let us know your comments or your thoughts in the comments as well, because we'll continue to respond. Gamble responsibly if you're having a punt on any of this, and good luck with any of your punts or if your country is still alive. Talk to you Monday. Enjoy the football. Have a good week. And leggo.